Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Live.
You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am.
You better tune in, IamRappaport.com. Cause every single podcast, you know he drops bombs. I seen him on set, a seasoned vet with true talent. Catch him on his way to CrossFit, rocking the new balance. He asked me to do the track cause he know I rhyme elite. But I'm just waiting for the Robert De Niro line of the week. Breakfast of champions, toasted bagel, cream cheese and lox. This is I Am Rappaport, the show never stops. You might catch him out in public, stretching his knees. But if you don't listen to the show, yo, wigger please.
Wigger please.
This is the Rappaport podcast.
Test. All right, I'm back. Man. So this shit. You know, I saw this. A guy in Massapequa, Long Island. Do you know where Massapequa, Long Island is, Gerald? Any clue where Massapequa, Long Island is?
Nah, not really.
Okay, so me neither. I don't know anything about Long Island. And I know I've taken some pot shots at Long Island. My mother and her family are from Lawrence, Long Island, otherwise known as the Jewish
enclave
capital of the world. When you want to meet prototype stereotypical Jews, if you're from like Iowa and you want to see real Jews, go out to Long Island, and you will see the realest of the real. Like, you know, there's people that are from outside of New York or other parts of the country. They see, like, you know, like Jerry Seinfeld as, like, a foreign object. You know that, right?
Why?
Because, we're from New York. We're used to black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese, Italian, Jewish. You can tell the difference. We look different. We speak different. There's different accents. Irish dudes have accents. Italian dudes have New York accents. Black dudes have New York accents. Jews have different New York accents. Like, it's a very... But if you're not born and raised here, you won't know that. But there's not, like, Jews, like Larry David, Woody Allen, Jerry Seinfeld, like that.
In anywhere else?
In Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
They don't breed them like that.
Wow.
East Coast New York Jews are like, they're like a group unto themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. I grew up with him all my whole fucking life.
Okay.
In Brooklyn.
So this cocksucker out in Massapequa, Long Island, this guy's name is Michael Rappaport.
Wow.
41 years old, of Merrick Road. Do I need to say even more why this would... This fucking guy looks like... He looks like he just came out of methadone clinic.
Yeah.
He's got a fucked up hairline. He's scary as hell looking. And he's got the same name as me. He's got blondish hair. And he got arrested attempting to pay for yogurt with counterfeit money. And his name is Michael Rappaport. And it's embarrassing to me.
Because that's your fucking...
That's my fucking name.
That's your
so
government.
So Michael Rappaport of Massapequa, you get wigger please. And then I was going to ask you about this. There's a group of gang members in New York. And the name of the group, and these guys are serious, the FBI is looking for them.
Okay.
The name of the gang is called GMF. Do you know what that stands for?
No.
Grimy Motherfuckers, which I thought was good because they got a sense of humor. Although they're bad guys, they seem like they got a good sense of humor. Because if I was going to ever be in a gang, what better name is for a gang than Grimy Motherfuckers?
Yeah. What gang are you in? Grimy Motherfuckers.
That shit's...
Kind of sums it up. Your
I
whole
like
shit.
That.
Yeah.
So one Grimy Motherfucker... and then there's a... I don't even say these guys' names because they look scary.
Yeah.
But... I just wanted to say that I wanted to give a shout out to the grimy motherfuckers and say, yo, be safe. I hope you guys get your get on the right path. But, you know, I think that you guys have a good sense of humor and I don't want any problems with the grimy motherfuckers. So
I have nothing to say, my friend.
About what?
The grimy motherfuckers.
Okay, so we're going to move on for that.
Yes.
This is the I Am Rappaport podcast and fucking... I'm sorry to do the old big old deep breath like I'm so tired of it.
What else you got, bro?
Your man Bill Cosby.
Oh, we had another chick. Well, this is not a chick. This is a dignified person. Beverly Johnson,
yeah.
Former supermodel, came out and said he did the same bullshit we was kicking last time.
Which was
with
what?
With the pills, drugging, she said she took two sips and she knew, like she started feeling immediately like groggy and then, but you know, she wasn't really out. Yo, that's how he got down.
Who?
Little Bill.
Bill fucking Cosby is, yo, this is not no conspiracy.
Too many motherfuckers, man.
This
too
is
many.
Not a conspiracy. Too many motherfuckers and too many... People that are not going to just go away. Beverly Johnson is a respected...
Credible.
Supermodel.
She's not like Janice Dickinson.
Who, not to say that she's not respected, she just comes off a little wacky.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Let's just say that.
Yeah, I'll give her that, yeah.
But Beverly Johnson isn't going anywhere.
Beverly
and if you
Johnson.
Don't know, Beverly Johnson is one of the first black supermodels.
Yep.
When they were first doing supermodels, like when that became a thing, like Cheryl Teagues... And them, she was, I don't even know who the and them is. I can't name other ones.
Who the motherfuckers
Christy
are?
Brinkley.
Yeah.
And them.
Uptown Girl. That's Christy Brinkley,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Christy Brinkley, Uptown Girl.
They should have had Lynette McKee up that motherfucking lip. Lynette McKee is a bad motherfucker. Look at Sparkle. Go look at Sparkle. They had the camera on her the whole movie.
But she's not a supermodel.
I'm talking about back in the days.
She's not a supermodel.
She could have been.
But she's not.
Okay. But Beverly Johnson never shitted on nobody.
Beverly Johnson never shitted on nobody.
Like, yo.
But she's out now to tell her story.
She's just telling the truth. Like, yo, this motherfucker did this. And if you did it, you did it. That's why you're quitting and resigning from all of those things. Because if I didn't do that.
Yeah.
If I didn't fucking give no bitches no pill.
Stop. You can't say.
All right.
I don't condone the bitch word.
All right. If I didn't give those chicks no pills.
Chicks. No pills.
I'd be out there front and center. Look, all these women are liars. Like, you would see me. I wouldn't resign from nowhere.
Right.
I'd be like, yo, I just she came to the crib. I'd explain every instance.
And you would say what? Like specifically, like for instance,
she came to the crib.
Okay.
And we was chilling.
Okay.
Right?
And so you're Bill Cosby.
And she wanted to see some of my work, and I was working on Fat Albert and Mush Mouth and those characters, and she wanted to see what I was doing. And then, you know, shit transpired. Man and woman in the crib alone.
Okay, and then what happened, sir? At what point did you give her the drugs, Mr. Cosby?
You talking about me.
I'm not talking about
fucking Bill.
No, you...
I ain't giving no bitches... You said don't do that.
No.
All right, give me no chicks, no pills.
No, but if you're Mr. Cosby and you're being questioned... Oh, no, you're being questioned. So, no, you said you were working on Fat Albert and Mushmouth.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Cosby, at what point did you drug the young lady?
As soon as they came in.
No. We're getting off track here.
Asking me if I'm Cosby.
Are you Cosby or are you you?
I said... If I was Cosby, right?
But he's gonna deny it.
I would be up there saying, my point is this motherfucker did it.
Get to the fucking point, man.
He did it. Everybody got the same story.
Yeah,
he gave me a drink. Why are you giving these women drinks? You don't have to do that. You're Bill Cosby. All you gotta do is sit in the room and you don't even gotta talk. This fucking guy don't even gotta talk.
And he should be able to freak off.
They shouldn't have to be dead, though. How you gonna enjoy yourself?
He has a thing for
dead chicks.
Yeah. And like moving them around. They're heavy. I don't care how small you are.
Yeah, what the fuck you gonna do with them? Like, and then they wake up and then you're just there fucking grinning and shit?
Yeah, he's...
He's sick, man. What about Camille? Did you drug her?
Oh, shit.
Like, I would never want a chick just fucking out of it.
Nah, me neither.
Right?
Me neither.
So that's why I call him sick.
Right.
Because you want to talk to the woman and, yo, so it could be an experience for you as well as her. Who want a dead chick? That you just mounting and shitting, and then she wakes up, and then you in the fucking drinking coffee, but you done did all ill shit to this woman.
Right.
Right, and she don't know what the fuck happened.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing at the way he's saying it.
But, see, he should be arrested.
Yo, do you think Gerald Moody, my sidekick, this is the I Am Rapport podcast, and I am in here with...
G Monetti.
Do I need to keep saying my sidekick? I'll keep saying it until people know. And like one more episode, I'll say my sidekick. So they're like, who the fuck is G Monetti?
They're going to know in a few.
These guys feeling himself because when we were on the street, somebody saw us together. And I guess they had heard the podcast and they asked for a fucking picture.
They said, where's G Monetti? I said, he right here. He right here.
And he got a selfie taken, so now he thinks he's fucking that's it.
I'm doing better than I was. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, he talking about yo, when I get my own show, I say, fuck you, man. Anyway, this is Michael Rapport. This is the I Am Rapport podcast. We've been discussing Bill Cosby. We've been discussing that situation. I mean, it's not going away. That's gonna be the thing about this thing, because it's so long ago. The legal ramifications, this is just gonna go on.
More chicks is
coming
out. This is
going to go on and on and on and on and on.
This is a superstar.
Yeah.
So imagine the women that he ran through.
Let's contextualize. Like, if you're younger than us, you might not understand this. In the 80s, well, first of all, in the 70s, when stand-up comedians were, like, held into, like, God status and... Bill Cosby has been famous since the 60s.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby is, I mean, so if you're younger than us, you're like thinking like this old guy, he was funny way back then. It wasn't that long ago. Bill Cosby's a pillar of...
American comedy.
Yeah, American comedy and American culture.
Yeah.
The Cosby Show was groundbreaking Fat Albert.
Uptown Saturday. Yeah.
I mean, he's... enormously famous, and he's been enormously famous for a long time. As he's gotten a little older, he's pulled away because he's older. You don't see him as much. But just don't, if you're younger than us, don't forget. Bill Cosby was in the 80s. I can't remember what year. I can't tell you what year The Cosby Show came on because we have no stats or facts on this.
Yeah, we don't do none of that stats.
We don't have
shit.
A computer nearby. I have no, I could be 85. What do you think it was 85, 86,
84? Forget.
Okay, whatever. Okay? The Cosby Show was bigger than any show that you could ever think of. Now, you can't even reference a show that's close to being as big.
Number one, man.
Okay, so for this to happen, like he, like Bill Cosby's like along the lines of famous of Michael Jackson famous.
Yeah, he's on that. And for him to be on some rape shit, just so ill, it's just like, damn. But you know what? You didn't even have, that's why I say you're sick. Because you didn't even have to do that.
Right.
Like for me, you'd be like, yeah, I can see this motherfucker doing that.
But why? Because you're just a regular guy.
Because I'm just
guy.
A fucking regular guy. And I don't got a lot of money. Like, I can't entice you. But if I'm Bill Cosby, you know I got that cake. You know I got fucking beautiful homes. There's no need for me to give you any kind of pills.
Right.
Just check my whole style. And you're going to be like, yo, you're going to call. You're going to come back over. See?
And he's funny, too.
And he's funny. He could make... See, but it's...
Humor is the way girls say is the way to their heart. Shit. Right? That's what girls say. The majority of time, girls will say...
He makes me laugh.
He makes me laugh. And he could do that.
This fucking
guy... That's wild.
He makes me laugh.
He makes me laugh. And he fucking drugs me. You fuck you.
And Beverly Johnson said the shit was strong. Because she only took a sip and her ass was bouncing all over that motherfucker.
He was giving her that gorilla.
He trying to get you fucking comatose.
Yo,
so he can drag you around the apartment.
That's that concoction they call gorilla. It's like fucking embalming fluid, yeah. And shit.
And think about it. He's fucking he's like some what's that guy? What's his name?
Come on,
man.
With
the weird eye.
Huh?
Feldman.
Gene Feldman?
No.
Marty Feldman.
Yeah.
The actor Marty Feldman. We have no stats or references here.
He's
so.
Like fucking Marty Feldman in there.
Why?
With it, like with the concoction and making it like...
Oh, like fucking Young Frankenstein shit. I got it. See, we piece it all together here at the I Am Rappaport podcast. Bill Cosby's a motherfucker, man. Bill Cosby, I mean, shit. But I'm going to move on for that. Here's another thing that happened since the partnership. I've brought on Gerald as my sidekick. We made some comments about the starters on NBA TV. We went in.
Oh, we going to go back on these motherfuckers?
You remember?
Oh, I remember them boys.
Yeah. I wanted to say this. I went in on you fucking guys. And I'm going to probably do it again. But although it sounded like I was fucking coming in super hard, and I was, you fucks, I still wish you guys luck. I do watch the fucking show. So that's a good thing. It's enough. It's good enough and interesting enough, and you guys are informed enough for me to watch the shit. And I'm an NBA TV fan and an NBA channel fan. You motherfuckers just need to tone down the fucking stat shit, all right? And I see that you said that, all right, after you felt the first thing. But in general, I wish you nothing but luck and success with the show.
Me too.
But, yeah, you too, right? Yeah. But if you two, if you four guys want to play me and Gerald in a 2-on-2, we can fucking do that.
Oh, no calls.
No, we're in the park.
We're going to play that old... Utah shit.
Yeah, we're going to play
Brooklyn.
2-on-2, and there's no cameras. We'll bet money to go to charity.
Yep.
And we'll bust that ass. You could bring all four. You guys could sub. We'll bust that ass.
And bring that Australian motherfucker, too. We want getting his ass, too. Let him know what time it is.
Oh, shit. But we're doing it in the park, and there's no cameras. Because that way, if there's cameras there... Then it's a different kind.
Yeah, we're going to do some Meadowlark Lemon shit on y'all.
Yeah, it's going to be... No, we're not going to do that. So they're not going to know who G. Monetti is. You could be anybody. You could be a ringer. I could be bringing a ringer to this shit.
Listen. Bring them cats.
Two. We're going to play them 2-on-2.
BRC.
We'll do it in Brooklyn at the BRC.
If you ball players, you know what time it is. BRC, Brooklyn, New York City, Brownsville. Let's do it for charity.
What's the address? Money goes to the BRC.
Money goes to the BRC. Linden Boulevard.
Yep.
You'll hear it.
Just look up Brownsville Recreation Center.
Yes.
But it'll be a friendly, fun game, but it'll be physical. I'm going to tell you that now.
Oh, no doubt.
It's going to be physical.
Mike Tyson comes from that neighborhood.
Pearl, Washington, Riddick Bowe.
Shannon Briggs.
Listen, I'll tell you this. Let's talk about New York basketball. West 4th Street is always considered the epicenter of street ball in New York City. And because it is very well respected and the location is prime. And everything about it is unique. The court is small. It's gated. It's right on fucking 6th Avenue. It's going to be the most famous park. But I will tell you for myself, and I don't give a fuck what you saw on Rockin' Jock or what the fuck you saw on the Celebrity Game. I played ball with some real motherfuckers and some really, really good basketball players. And all over, I competed so you could kiss my fucking ass with that Rockin' Jock shit. I didn't do good on Rockin' Jock.
Yeah. You wasn't representing, son.
I didn't do shit.
You're supposed to be clotheslining motherfuckers.
I tried to clothesline Justin Bieber. I tried. He was faster than I thought. But let me just stay focused. The point of it is playing ball all over New York City or in a lot of New York City. I didn't play all over, like in every park. I never played that much in the Bronx. Played a lot in Harlem. Played a lot in Manhattan. Played a lot in certain parts of Brooklyn. Los Angeles, we were playing with good dudes out there. Sean Higgins, Chris Mills, NBA talent.
NBA guys.
J.D. Green. These are basketball players.
NBA people.
The most physical, aggressive, tense games of basketball I ever saw or played in, but more saw because the highest, most intense levels, we were number one young, and I just wasn't at that level, was in Brownsville. At Howard Park, in the old park, I saw games with people like World Be Free, James Majors.
Jerry Ice Reynolds.
Otis Wilson from the fucking 85 Chicago Bears.
Pearl Washington. Phil Sellers.
And other guys who you would never know, but like, these are ball-playing motherfucking Brooklyn basketball players. And the competition and the games were so physical and so intense. And I'm sure it happens in other parks, too. But for me, that shit was crazy. World Be Free was in the NBA.
Exactly.
All-Star. He was in, and he's playing in the park. And he's not just playing one game. They're playing over and over and over and over. Like, there's no breaks in between the games. Like, it's like a minute, 90 seconds. I'd say 5 minutes max. You don't sit down. There's no Gatorade.
Yep.
And the games are fucking hard. James Majors was at Seton Hall. This motherfucker, yo, you never seen anything like this. So, you guys, the fucking starters, you're coming into sacred territory to play us this 2-on-2.
Word up.
So just know when you come in there, don't have some bullshit shorts on. Here's the rules. I don't wear baggy shorts. I'm 44. But if you come in here to the game with shorts 6 inches above your knee, we're not playing. I'm not playing.
Yo, let the motherfuckers come in however they want to come.
Okay.
And then we're going to put it on their ass. And then we're going to take pictures.
And then we'll eat.
And it's for good.
It's all for fun.
It's for fucking good. Because we like you guys, but you just got to tighten up around the fucking edges.
No, loosen up around the fucking edges.
No, tighten up, man. Tighten up.
Tighten
up. Tighten your shit up.
Tighten your shit up. Yeah. Okay. But we respect you, and I would love to be a guest on the show. Anyway, that's enough with the fucking starters. It's the I Am Rappaport podcast. All right. Okay, this is Michael Rappaport, and we're back with more from the I Am Rappaport podcast. I'm with my partner in crime, my sidekick. Fuck you, Ed McMahon. Is Ed McMahon still alive?
I don't think so. I saw him in Slaughter with Jim Brown in 73. I don't know. The movie.
I know. But is he? He's not sold. You don't know if he sold it. We don't have. This is not a fact based show.
Yeah.
I want to make that clear.
Yeah, we don't fucking search for no facts. We fucking just say, like you would say to your man on the street, "Yo, is that motherfucker alive?" Nah, I don't know. All right, go ahead.
Nah, I don't know. Yeah. So that could be either or. Anyway, so I'm here with my partner, G Moody, a.k.a. the Black Ed McMahon. Black McMahon.
Word.
Right? That's good.
Yeah.
And if you guys missed the last I Am Rapaport podcast, I introduced my sidekick, my partner in crime, partner in rhyme, my friend since 1982. We met. He's from the Brownsville section of Brooklyn. I am from the east side of Manhattan. Upper east side of Manhattan.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that crazy? We met and we'll get into all the interesting follies that we've been through throughout the years. But he has a point of view. I have a point of view, and I'm bringing him in because, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of sidekicks in the you know, people.
Mad corny, man.
Yeah. So Gerald thinks, and I think,
I can one up them guys. I can fucking 10 up those fucking guys.
All of them.
All of them.
Even though you don't know their fucking names.
All of them.
Fuck them.
I'm the guy.
So, a couple of days ago, they're talking about a couple of teams picking up Ray Rice going into week 15 and 16 in the NFL. The season's coming to a close. Teams need to make the playoffs. Teams are getting ready to make their runs in the playoffs. It's been whispers that the Chargers might pick him up.
I think Ray Rice, you need to be wary of.
Why?
Because if you fucking examine that video,
yeah,
the way he fucking showed no concern after he hooked off on his fucking girl in the elevator. After he knocked her out, if I would have fucking knocked my fucking girl out, right? I would be, you would see my hand, you see my hands on my head, and I'd be like, oh, fuck, what happened? You know, I'd be walking around in circles.
Scared. Panicked.
The video tells you that this is commonplace.
Like,
he's like, oh, fuck, again?
Yeah. Get up.
Yeah. That's what it is. I would be.
You, last time I hit you with a two-piece, you didn't get knocked out.
That's what it looked like. And he didn't show any concern. Because if you did that and you see the woman not moving, you'd be in panic.
I'd be fucking nervous.
You'd be in panic mode. This has happened before.
And he dragged her out.
Right. And she knows it. And she's covering up for this guy because he's the fucking gravy train, right? He's the fucking guy that makes all the money, right?
Right.
So you got to be in front of Roger Goodell. Oh, no. Ray is fucking, he's okay. He's great, you know. But you know the deal. See, you know this guy is a monster.
So you don't think that Ray Rice should be let back into the NFL, or you do, but watch out for him?
Well, you got to think as an owner, Ray Rice, you got to give him a fucking chance. It's a business. Like, if he can help your team and you're fucking on the threshold, maybe, you know, in the playoffs, yo, take the fucking hit. You're there to win.
If you're an owner, would you put Rice on your team? Or Michael Sam on your team? Now, they're two different positions. But if you had to sign one as a business move, who would you sign?
I get Michael Sam because I want the gay money.
What do you mean?
I want the gay population. They would love to have a gay motherfucker playing football.
Right.
There's somebody they can get behind.
Not the views expressed by Michael Rapaport and the I Am Rapaport podcast. We let people speak freely and openly in here. G Moody is my partner, but we do not always share the same points of views.
Okay,
let's stick to Ray Rice. So Ray Rice, he's circling back to get back in the league by the end of this season. It's been a long, tumultuous season. Now they have domestic abuse
Yeah, they got spousal all this shit.
Abuse,
yeah.
Commercials, and
I don't like that shit.
I think they should have fucking Ray Rice up there. He should be doing.
Ray Rice should be the fucking guy where they have the parade of athletes and they're just like not saying anything. Well, Ray, what the fuck you got to say?
Yeah, you should be doing
show the tape and then you fucking analyze it.
Right.
Oh, I did this because you know, don't have it. You should right. be. Here we go. Here we go right here. As a condition of your employment to my team, you're going to do all the PSAs.
You fuck you.
Like you got these fucking guys out here talking about they not saying anything. We're going to fucking have you up there.
And saying what? Imaginary. Like what would you have him say?
I would have him say, don't fuck with me.
I'm fucking Ray Rice. I got a fucking temper problem.
Right, I got a fucking problem.
And a mean right hook.
Right. And Roger Goodell, I told you everything I did.
You fuck.
Right. And you swept it under the rug.
Right. You think that would be the PSA that you...
Yeah.
Okay, that's not going to happen. No one's going to do that kind of PSA. Last week during the I Am Rapport podcast, we talked about alternative... basketball alternative coaches that could possibly take over the job for Derek Fisher. We said Billy Martin, who's actually dead.
The late, great Billy Martin.
But Billy Martin, who was a Yankee coach yes. and who died probably 20-something years ago, you think that he would be a good coach?
Yeah, because of the way he treated the players and the way he held them accountable and how he was screaming on Reggie in the dugout. Yo, that's a guy where he was like, yo, fuck all that.
We also said that Robert De Niro would be a good coach.
You dumb fuck.
Right. Or Bill Parcells would be a good coach.
Hold people accountable.
Or Patrick Ewing. Why not give him the fucking job? He's loved. He's beloved. Even John Starks.
John Starks.
Why isn't he the fucking Knicks coach? We're 4-17. 4-17 or 5-and I don't know what we are now. I've lost track.
John Starks.
He could be the fucking coach.
They don't even consider these fucking guys.
Who else do you think would be good to be a Knicks coach?
You know, there are icons of New York.
Yeah.
Bad or good?
Derek Jeter.
Fucking Doc Gooden for his coke shit.
Right.
And Plaxico Burress.
That's an interesting idea for the Knicks coach. Bring in Plaxico fucking Burress.
He goes down in New York City lore as one of the fucking dumbest fucking guys of all time.
Okay. And let's refresh people if they don't know who Plaxico Burress is. Plaxico Burress was an NFL football player. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then I don't know if he played anywhere else, and then he played for the Giants.
Giants.
He scored the winning touchdown the year the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then in the off season,
he fucking went to a club.
Uh-huh.
He had his fucking gun in sweatpants. Imagine putting a fucking gun in sweatpants. Where, how the fuck you gonna hold that shit up?
Right. First of all.
And what did he expect?
Right.
Like, did he expect to get in some type of beef? And then he just start letting off in the club?
Right.
But like everybody would fucking know if the detectives asked the people who was in the fucking club, who shot? The guy who caught the fucking Super Bowl winning.
I can't remember his name, but it was that fucking guy. Why did he have the gun in the first place? Right? I know. I can't remember. He's got a funny name, but I'm telling you, it's the fucking guy. He caught the fucking pass. Yeah, him. He was shooting up the fucking club.
Yo, let him be the coach.
Plaxico, so you're saying let him be the coach just because he's a New York icon? He'd scare people because he's...
Because if you're going to...
Why not?
If you're going to hire fucking Derek Fisher, you're going to fucking exclude New York people. Pat, Mason, Oakley.
Reggie Jackson.
If you're going to exclude all the...
Mark fucking Gastineau would be a good coach for the Knicks.
Joe Klecko. You might as well fucking put anybody if you're going to have him. Phil Jackson, why not just coach?
Just coach, Phil.
Just coach for your swan song and just go out.
Fuck.
We got fucking this guy explaining the losing. That's not what we're used to out here, man. We're used to motherfuckers at the press conference talking shit.
With some personality.
Getting motherfuckers amped.
Right.
To make the fan base realize, like, yo, we're not with this shit.
Right.
And this motherfucker shooting 100 times? Fuck that. We don't got that, and we have this, and everybody's talking about 2015 and this and that. How long motherfuckers been waiting? 73.
Yeah.
You mean Oklahoma could get to the finals and they just fucking make a team?
Right.
Knicks been around since 1947.
Right.
Oklahoma just fucking makes a team and they get to the finals.
Right. Right. Right.
That's fucked up.
And Jock Vaughn is a head coach. Is he a head coach?
Yeah.
For what team?
Well, he's fucking Orlando or Utah. What are the, Orlando.
Who the fuck is Jock Vaughn? How is he a head coach?
How did he bypass all the fucking shit that you have to do? How did he get that position where Pat Ewing is a 50? He's one of the top 50, and he put his work in. Jock Vaughn just fucking retired.
Pat Ewing, I don't want to see you holding a clipboard in Charlotte anymore. Take your fucking ass, go to Jamaica, you're from there, and shut it down.
Go to the yard, man. Go to fucking Kingston.
I don't want
to
see him fucking holding a clipboard for the Charlotte Bobcats, taking stats for Born Ready and those guys. He's better than that. That's my Knicks segment for this week on the I Am Rappaport podcast. And I'll be right back with some new shit. All right. This is the verse of the week. The verse of the week. I got my man G Moody in here. And the verse of the week, I'm going with Big Daddy Kane, The Symphony.
Yes. Oh, you picked a gem, my brother.
Setting it off, letting it off. Beginning, rough to the ending. You never been in to move, groove with the smooth rap lord like a bottle of juice.
Rhymes are being poured
down your ear, crisp and clear.
As I prepare to wear and tear and smear, then I'm out of here.
With a mark that you left to clang, because rocking a party.
Yo, it's a small thing. I rip many places on a regular basis.
A broken down mic.
Only traces.
That I've been there and there at the party. The mic had my prints.
And on it was a body.
So take caution. I'm not horsing.
Around in the throwdown clown, I'm taking your son.
So just acknowledge the way that I kick it. Because rap
was a house.
If rap was a house, you'd be evicted. That's a game. Yeah. That's like shit precursor to Jay-Z shit.
Yeah. This is Kane, man. This is icon.
And dismissed from the microphone, choking on a bone because daddy's home. And battling me is hazardous to health. So put a quarter in your ass because you played yourself. Like a game in an arcade, you need a far aid. I'm walking the path that Allah made. I'll attend, then begin.
A whole lot of fly shit.
Send a speech and reach and teach. So I can let my lyrics blast like a bullet. My mouth is the gun.
On suckers, I pull it.
The trigger, you figure. My pocket's getting bigger. Because when it comes to money, yo.
Grant's my nigga.
You got the groove.
Ulysses.
Yo, Big Daddy Kane is one of my favorite fucking guys. Did you ever see this motherfucker when he was background guy for Biz Markie? He would like let him get up there and rhyme like the end of the show. And I told you, he did some shit like Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this dude was rhyming with. I remember I told you.
Right. Exactly.
This dude was rhyming with Biz. He was good. I didn't. And then when Raw came out, was it Raw or Ain't No Half Step? What was it? Raw?
Probably Get Into It or
Set It Off. Yeah, Big Daddy Kane. He goes in my Whole top thing. Five.
Yeah.
My top five MCs. Chris Rock has this movie coming out. It's called Top Five. And he asks.
Really?
In the
top
movie,
five rappers. Oh.
Yeah. These are my top fives, you fuck. You could say these top five or you could change them. You could add to them. These are my top five. Big Daddy Kane. No, in no particular order.
Okay.
Big Daddy Kane. KRS-One, the Blastmaster.
Yeah.
Because
you got a dope beat. I got it.
Yo, KRS-One was on that shit. He was on that MC. Like, he really, the styles, the flipping. Like, he
rocking
really,
all that.
All that shit.
All that. He got to be up there.
Rakim, who, if you didn't hear me talk about this a few podcasts ago, I just got to meet.
The God.
And it was like Rakim, and I say this with all due respect and in the best way, was frozen in time. He looked like he was in 1989. He looked the same. He hasn't fucking aged. He was just as cool as a motherfucking cucumber. Kane, KRS, and Rakim. And I still dream about a song being made with the three of them.
That's fucking three. You got two more left, bro.
I go with Nas Escobar and Jay-Z. As far as a body of work,
Jay-Z, yeah. What about Cool J? Yeah.
LL Cool J is a motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
LL Cool J, but you know he's had lulls.
You're right.
Like, you know, LL Cool J is like almost like Kobe Bryant. Like, I love LL Cool J. I love Kobe. I fucking can't stand LL Cool J. Fucking Kobe, man. Yeah. Cut your fucking hair. I fucking love LL Cool J. You know, and now like everybody loves LL Cool J because he's like
you on that CSI type.
He's
shit.
On that, yeah. And I say good. I did a movie with him, Deep Blue Sea. Shout out to Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
But as far as an MC, I mean, obviously, yo, he's first generation. I mean, LL Cool J is iconic. He's like, if you put him under the right beat, I'd put him up against anybody right now. I think just some of the beats that he chooses. But he's done so much. I mean, LL, listen.
I got fucking, you want to hear my fucking top five?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got fucking Melly Mel, yeah. Melvin Glover.
Okay.
I got fucking Big Daddy.
Big Daddy Kane.
The cool genius of rap. Corona Queens in the house. And I fucking got Rakim.
Who's the cool genius of rap?
Cool G Rap.
You got to explain that. You can't just say the cool genius.
But motherfuckers supposed to know that. You all those hipsters, you're supposed to know that.
Oh. Huh? Oh, the hipsters don't know who the cool G... Oh, yeah. They know so much about hip-hop, right. But you
That's
say...
That's why I said that. If you know about hip-hop music, if I say the cool genius of rap... Immediately, you know that's Nathaniel Wilson, Cool G Rap. Now, Rakim Allah.
Yeah, Rakim.
And the Blast Master.
Ooh.
Now, people say, you leaving out Biggie Smalls? And
we differ of opinions on Eminem. Because for me, now listen, I don't want to get in any beef with Marshall Mathers because he's sick. But... As a wordsman, as a pure MC, he's definitely should be talked about in the top five. But as a song maker, I feel like, and I say this with all due respect, I don't want Marshall Mathers shitting on me. You don't want
that motherfucker writing nothing about your ass.
I don't
ass.
Want you to say anything about me. So I'm saying this truly. You're top.
Eminem is a motherfucker.
He's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
I say you're a motherfucker.
He's a hip-hop Hall of Famer.
But,
give him that.
But I feel like some of the beats that he chooses... Are more bigger and broader than pure hip hop. And I would like to see, and I say this with all due respect, Eminem just do a straight boom bap hip hop album.
With P-Rock and fucking Premier.
Premier, Large Professor.
Yeah.
Fucking the Ninth Wonder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Q-Tip could do some beats.
Do that shit like Nas did when he came out.
Please do it. Please do it. Because if Eminem did it, because of his popularity, he could change the course of what these young fuckers are doing in hip-hop.
Yeah, that bullshit, yo.
We don't have to name names, but that bullshit.
That bullshit.
A lot of what's going on now is bullshit. But so Eminem, I don't want any problems with you. I've never met you. I'm a humongous fan.
You are the baddest motherfucker, man.
You're one of the baddest motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm just saying, I want to hear the beats. He knows what I'm talking about. Boom bap.
Boom bap music, boom bap sound.
So if you had to do a sixth guy in your top five, and it couldn't be someone from my list, who would it be? So this is who we have lingering around. Ghostface, we have Busta Rhymes, we have Eminem. Did he make your list?
Eminem. I have to, yo, he said, yo, he kicks a lot of fly shit, man. Yeah, his lyrics is fly, yo.
Eminem is a motherfucker.
Yo, like that's that clever rap shit. That's what it's about for me.
Yeah. So like, Eminem would be your, so just to answer, long story short here, buddy. Long story short. Eminem. And who would be your seventh man? You get one more.
Finesse.
Ooh, Lord Finesse. Over Ghost Dini.
Yeah, Finesse been out since 89, yo. He's one of the fucking stalwarts.
I was asked this question once. If you had to do Crew, Digging in the Crates Crew, D-I-T-C, verse Native Tongues.
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Who would win?
I got to ask that
D-I-T-C.
Question.
Wow. Big L, Finesse, they tear their ass up, man.
You think?
Andre the Giant, Diamond D, the Beats, yo.
Well, they have more beat makers.
But Finesse and fucking Andre and fucking
yes.
Big L.
Yeah.
Yo.
Was Big L D-I-T-C from the beginning? He seemed like he came
in. O-C.
He's D-I-T-C?
Yeah, man.
Fuck.
Fat right. Joe?
Yeah.
They kill them guys. They be on that old peace shit and all that old Daisy Age and all that.
So you're saying you're going
talking
with D-I-T-C?
Harlem Bronx shit, yo.
I'm just asking, man. I'm not looking for a fight. You're getting like you want to take me out.
No, we not with all that Daisy Age. We with fucking Harlem
okay,
Bronx.
Okay. All right. Just fucking asking. So your answer is... You go with D-I-T-C over Native Tongues Crew. Native Tongues, Jungle Brothers, De La, Tribe, Chi Ali, Latifah, Moni.
No, Latifah's fucking Flavor Unit.
No, she's Native. She's Native.
Well, let's fuck, yeah, you got to ask her.
Oh, yeah, I got to ask her?
Yeah, you got to ask her, man.
Okay, all right. She's fucking Native Tongue. She was in the
Flavor Unit with fucking Apache and 45 King.
No. But she was in
Kim.
Queen Latifah was in the
one of those fucking skateboard songs.
Anyway, let me figure it out. Queen Latifah was in what's the song, man? Buddy. Queen Latifah was in the Buddy video.
Okay.
So she's Daisy Age. She's
I'm not with all that Daisy shit. We with that fucking Bronx shit.
Okay, you're with that Timberland boots and army
the suits. And jail suits.
And jail suits.
Yeah. Timberland boots and jail suits.
Okay. All right, so that's a good question. Who would you pick? D-I-T-C or Native Tongues? If there was a battle, you put the body of work. That's the question of the week. Who would you pick? D-I-T-C or Native Tongues? I didn't originate that question, but I'm re-asking it.
Yeah.
Scoop Jackson asked me that question. I was like, Scoop, that's a good fucking question.
D-I-T-C.
All right.
Everybody knows that.
We're going to let the people decide. You shut the fuck up. Yep. So, the other night, I don't mean to be so sports-centric on this show, because I feel like I have a lot to offer, but this is just what's going on. The other night, the Knicks were playing the Portland Trail Blazers. The Knick games are filled with celebrities. You see guys like, everybody's been there. Howard Stern, Ben Stiller, Jerry Seinfeld, Leonardo, the biggest of the biggest of the biggest celebrities. You'll even catch me there.
Yes.
Game the other night. This is such an uncommon thing. Regular season game. Who the fuck shows up to watch the Knick game? He's not playing LeBron James. Listen, motherfucker. First of all, we don't need your pity. He said he came to support his friend right. Carmelo Anthony.
Because that boy only won four games, so I want to come down here and show him some love because he only won four games.
Wait, that's what LeBron is saying?
That's his fucking mindset. So it's like a wake. Like, I know you're losing. I know it's tough. I just want to come shout you out. Yo, keep your head up. Yo, fuck these motherfuckers. Try to score. Maybe I can get you to come to Cleveland. But you're going to be all right.
Like you think he feels bad for Carmelo?
Why else would you come to that fucking game?
LeBron.
Like, he's like, stay the fuck out of the garden.
Stay out of the fucking garden. If you're not there to play, don't be showing up. Who goes to watch other people's games?
Right. You think Larry Bird would go fucking watch Doc?
Larry Bird didn't go to watch fucking Dr. J play.
Yeah, like, yo, I'm going to.
Isaiah Thomas didn't go to fucking watch Kiki Vandeweghe and those guys play.
Yeah, like, yo.
Michael Jordan wasn't like, hey, I'm in town one day early. I'm going to go watch Joe Dumars and then play. This shit. This over-friendly bullshit.
Yeah.
This shit.
I don't like that
is
either.
What's watering down the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need you at the Garden to support the Knicks.
Yeah, you fucking, you're making it look worse.
Why are you at the game watching the Knicks game? Why? I don't know why. I've never seen another player. Correct me if I'm wrong. I have never seen
a superstar motherfucker
or a regular player go watch another team during the regular season play basketball. I've never seen that. I've seen other players who were knocked out of the playoffs show up to playoff games. It's rare.
Right.
You think Kobe Bryant would come sit courtside to watch the fucking New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets play to see his friend on the Nets? Or just to even sit there and watch these guys during the regular season? This is why LeBron James is not at that level. This is why he's not. He has the talent. It's just like a mental thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't care. He's like, oh, I do what I want to do. I do what I want to do too, fucking guy. And what I want to do is fucking air you out. And I'm going to tell you, LeBron, while you're doing what you want to do, why you're never going to be Jordan. You're never going to be revered like Kobe. You're never going to be revered like Larry Bird, like Joe Dumars, like these guys. It's never going to happen.
Right.
All right? And I don't want you showing up at the games. And I don't want you.
He's pitying the Knicks.
The pity party.
Yeah.
Don't come to the Nick games unless you're here to play us.
You're like, yo, I'm going to see my boy Melo. He having a hard time out there in New York.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. That's what it is, because it's not like he came to watch a great game.
Oh, shit.
You know, like, they ain't shit. They got Giuseppe running the point, like I said.
Who's Giuseppe?
Prigioni. I call him Giuseppe. You might as well, right?
Yeah.
So you got him fucking running the point. So he didn't come to see them motherfuckers.
No. go to see a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Go to see the Book of Mormon.
Go to Show World or the Deuce.
Yeah, he's not going to go to Show World or the Deuce. Go to see the fucking Book of Mormon. Well, how about you stay home, rest? No, you want to show up.
You want to show up and laugh. He's fucking laughing, too. He said, I told you to go to Chicago.
You dumb motherfucker.
Right.
You.
Look at your point guard, Mario.
Super Mario. Gerald, my sidekick here, you have a real bug up your ass for
Giuseppe.
What's his name?
Prigioni.
You got a bug up your ass.
He was a fucking rookie. He was 36. I could do the shit. Let me bring it up and just pass the motherfuckers. I can do that.
You know what I want to talk about? Somehow or another, he's escaped the wrath of the NCAA. Somehow or another, this fucking guy hasn't been busted on sanctions. Maybe he has, but I mean, this fucking guy is still coaching. Fucking Calipari.
Coach Calipari,
the fucking snake oil salesman. This fucking greaseball shows up to the games in pinstripe suits.
Some gangster shit.
He doesn't give two shits if these guys graduate.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a fuck. He gets these guys, they're 33 years old, coming in as freshmen.
Yeah, that's why
he's like, I saw in an interview, Calipari was like, You think John Wall, you know how old he was when I first had him? He was 26. I got him out of high school. He was 26 years old. We forged his birth certificate. I had him. I had fucking Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Boogie Cousins was 30. He's a freshman.
I take the SATs for these fucking guys in blackface.
I take the SATs for these fucking guys. I've never been caught. I don't give a fuck how old they are. I got a 13-year-old this year. He's a freshman. I don't give a shit. Coach Calipari is a fucking scoundrel.
Yeah.
He's going to give two shits about, I don't know how the NCAA, I think he's like, I'm not paying you. You know what it is over here.
Yeah.
I'll take your fucking test for you. You don't have to go to class. Even phys ed? No, you don't need any class. Photography class? Nothing.
Nothing. You don't have to do anything.
Ceramics? Nothing. You don't have to do shit. You come here, you play for one season, and then you go about your fucking business.
He's like the fucking Christopher Walken of fucking college basketball.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck about shit.
He doesn't give a fuck. And he shows up in a pinstripe suit. He's showing the NCAA, I don't give a fuck, I'm a fucking mobster. What kind of a basketball coach wears a pinstripe suit?
I'm a fucking mobster.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yo, you know who's another grimy motherfucker?
Who?
Rick Pitino when he fucking did that.
Oh. I like Rick Pitino,
He was hitting bitches raw.
Oh.
He was hitting bitches raw in Applebee's, kid.
Was it in an Applebee's?
One of those little TGI Friday, whatever that shit. He was hitting bitches raw in there.
Don't say bitches. We got to say a better word.
He was hitting
chicks.
Chicks raw.
Girls.
Girls raw.
Ladies.
But I like Rick.
I like Rick Pitino too.
Let's leave him alone.
Calipari? This fucking greasy motherfucker. Is he Italian?
Cal is. Yeah, Coach Cal. Yeah, Calipari. Yeah.
That motherfucker, man. Yo, that motherfucker doesn't care, man. You notice some of his players look older than him.
Yeah.
Some of his, he's got a rookie, a freshman on his team, swear to God, looks older than him.
Yo, that's how he gets down.
And he doesn't give a fuck. How he doesn't get busted. There has to be sanctions.
He got busted in Massachusetts, and he went somewhere, and they fucking...
They cleaned it up, and now he's back.
And then
he's in Kentucky.
Went to Memphis, Final Four, all that, remember? He get the grown guys.
Those guys are 50.
Yeah.
51-year-old guys, dudes that came out of prison. He gives the social security numbers, forged their fucking IDs. And he's like, just come and play for me for 1 year. I'll change your life. You'll be in the NBA.
Yeah. Yep. 1 year. That's all he asked.
John Wall was fucking 26 when he was a freshman at Kentucky.
John Wall's about 40 right now.
Yeah, he's 40.
Yeah. You don't let that shit fool you.
Don't let that shit fool you. Coach Cal is a motherfucker. This is the I Am Rappaport podcast. We'll be right back after this. All right. This is Michael Rappaport, and we are now entering the Wig of Please section of the show. And somehow or another, and I don't try to do this because I have nothing against the great state of Florida, but every time I go into a Wig of Please segment, it seems like we wind up discussing something in Florida. I might have to change this segment to Florida Please because I don't know what the fuck is going on down there, but you got some wild shit happening. And, you know, I actually first thought about doing Wig of Please 2 years ago when the gentleman who was on bath salts was naked in the streets and was caught eating a homeless person's face. Butt-ass naked. Motherfucker was caught eating a guy's face. You could look it up. And that was what kind of conjured up. That also happened in Florida. And you know what the funny thing is? The police detained this fucking guy. Now, if you're ever going to shoot a guy on sight, I'm not saying you should ever do that kind of shit, but if I see a naked guy eating a motherfucker's face in the street, that'd be the guy I'd at least shoot him in the ass. Like, I don't want to break that up. I don't want to stop that. Like, he needs to get, like, at least one in the ass. But that kind of behavior in Florida is what sort of conjured up the now infamous Wig a Please section. So this week's first person down in Florida, a woman named Angela Stolt, 42-year-old lady. She was not happy with her neighbor, and she stabbed him in the fucking eye and strangled this cocksucker, and then chopping his remains up, cooking them. She said she was cooking the remains to get rid of them. Angela, wig a please. What the fuck are you doing, lady? She threw his legs in the oven, and she was stewing parts of his head. And she told her daughter, this lady Angela, has an 18-year-old daughter. She was 16 at the time of the incident when she was trying to cook and get rid of the body of the person she stabbed in the fucking face. And she confessed to all this in court. She's going to jail. I don't know how long. I mean, if there's a... she's sentenced to life without parole, this baddie bitch. And Angela Stolt, you get wig a please. You're fucking wild. You're wild for the night. And I feel sorry that you have kids. I don't know what would possess you to stab a motherfucker in the eye and then try to... She just... It was gruesome. So Angela Stolt down in Florida, shocking. She gets a wig a please. She gets a nice fat wig a please. Number two, in New York City. Now, I'm probably going to offend a lot of people here, but just stick with me. They have opened up a cat cafe. All right. And this is a cafe where they serve coffee and they got cookies, and it's called the Meow Parlor. And a lady has opened up this place. Now, you get wig a please, not because of your hustle. I wish you great success in your business. But I'm not a cat person. I don't like those little fuckers. I never have liked those little fuckers. They scare me. I'm scared of getting bitten by them. I don't know what all the hoopla, hype, and fear is over dogs or pit bulls. Those little fuckers... You know, those little cats, they frighten me. They got claws, they got teeth, and when they bite you, you're in for the fight of your life, okay? You're going to definitely be, you know, in the hospital. They ain't letting go. So the Meow Parlor in New York City, I wish you great luck with your business, but number one, you're never going to see me in there. I'm never coming to get coffee at the Meow Parlor in New York City or the Cat Cafe, whatever the fuck they're calling it. And number two, you get wig a please, because I just can't even imagine going into a place to get coffee and some crumpets, you know, like, you know, macaroons with being surrounded by fucking cats. Again, I know I'm offending some of the many, 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 many thousands and thousands of people that are listening to this podcast, but this lady gets a wig of please, all right? And third of all, it's LeBron James again. But this time, I'm going to stand by the King's side. So LeBron James was in New York, showed up to a Knicks game, and watched it, which I just find condescending. The next night, The Cleveland Cavaliers were in Brooklyn to play against the Brooklyn Nets. And the king, or the prince, Prince William, and his wife, I don't know if she's a queen or what is she, a duchess, they showed up to come to the game. And they were there watching. And, you know, it was a big hoopla because the prince and Kate, I don't know if she's a queen, what the fuck she is, a duchess. None of that shit makes any sense to me. I just know they're rich, and I know William needs to get his hair fixed, which is interesting because LeBron James needs to get his hair fixed. And I'm moving off that subject because this wasn't to shit on LeBron, because this was to protect him. But after the game, there's a photo of Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, and Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge, and LeBron, you know, the king, the so-called king of the NBA. And LeBron, it's after the game, is sweating the way one should sweat after the game, but this fucking guy is sweating through his shirt. Listen, that's what happens when you play a game. I work out, I sweat. I mean, I don't work out anywhere as intense as LeBron. Nonetheless, there's a picture that has been circulating of LeBron with his sweaty-ass T-shirt and his arm around Kate Middleton. And there's a whole fucking hoopla, and it's not royal protocol, and it's offensive. And I saw that fucking snide, uppity fuck Piers Morgan saying his big hand around the Duchess. And, you know, we know what you're saying. And apparently he offended the royal people, the Queen, the Duchess, her whole crew, because you're not supposed to touch, a queen or a queen-to-be or whatever the fuck she is. So, Kate Middleton, listen, you get a wig of please. And whoever made the rules for the royal people, you get a wig of please. She wanted to take a picture with Bron, and William's standing there, and he put his arm around her, and everybody's got, you know, flipping the fuck out. Wig of please. She shouldn't have asked for the picture, or she should have said, oh, you don't do that. She didn't have the balls to tell Bron, oh, you can't touch me because I'm the queen, or I'm the duchess, or I'm the queen's, heir. I don't know what the fuck, again. But I don't like this. And now it's a big fucking deal. It's in bad taste that he did this, and blah, 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 blah. Wig a motherfucking please. All right? You know, you wanted to take a selfie with the king, LeBron, and he put his sweaty arm around you. I don't see anything wrong with that. See, LeBron, I don't always shit on you. You know, I stood up for you this time, LeBron, so I want you to take note of that if I ever see you and, you know, you're like, oh, you say all this craziness to me. I stood up for you this time, all right? That's it. That's Wig of Please for this week. You know, don't ever try to steal the Wig of Please saying, the statement. It's trademarked. I trademarked the shit, okay? I own the rights to Wig of Please. So don't try to fuck around with me, because if you do, wiggle please.